This is Mark Steiner right here on The Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. It is Monday, so we will have our local and national roundtables today to look at what's happened over the last week, over the weekend, what we've seen. And our first hour here is the national roundtable. And we've seen a lot. We've seen, it looks like as if Donald Trump's personal lawyer is moving into the White House. What does that mean? A little unprecedented. It looks as if we also are seeing what the Comey's testimony last week, the response by Donald Trump. Sessions' testimony is coming up. And there are people talking impeachment. Question is whether or not that makes any sense at all. And what we are watching here unfold. And also, you know, there's a we've seen the Republicans not sure who they are anymore, and I think the Democrats are also in some ways coming unglued, trying to figure out who they are. And where does this take us all? We are joined once again by the incomparable Carla Wills, senior news producer at Democracy Now! Carla, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good to be with you again, Mark.
Ralph Moore's in the studio, longtime community activist and advocate for Baltimore's poor and needy. Always good to have you here, Ralph.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Listen, so you're not standing for your wife. You're just here because we like you,
oh,
too.
Oh, good. Nice to know. I remember when it was the other way around.
And we had Dr. Richard Vatz is with us. Rick Vatz is professor of rhetoric and communication at Taft University's Department of Instructional Leadership and Professional Development, an editorial op-ed writer, author of the only authentic book of persuasion, as new book on Thomas Oz coming out, which we'll talk about some other day. Good to have you here in the house.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And you all
so far.
Y'all can join us at 410-319-8888. You can write to us here at talk@steinershow.org by email. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner. Well, Rick, you know, I mean, we've tried desperately to get people who really support Donald Trump on the show. It's not been easy. And almost all the conservatives coming on the show as yourself don't like Trump. So it's really hard to kind of find the voices out there.
I don't think that there are many serious people who admire his rhetorical style. I mean, he's an offensive human being. This does not mean that I mean, Comey, last year I was a big supporter of Comey, and he is just, he's so disappointed me with his appearance in Congress.
Well, let me let you start. Let's start with that. Let's talk about why he disappointed you. We'll go to other guests to kind of respond.
Well, he disappointed me because he said that he was confused. He was confused by Donald Trump. He was confused by Loretta Lynch, and he pulled this position. Gee, I never expected these people to do it, and I didn't know what to do, and I kind of didn't do anything for a while because I was just so shocked and confused. Are you serious? You think Comey is confused? I thought Comey came across as a completely self-serving individual who is utterly irresponsible.
Interesting. And Carla, how did you see it?
I mean, I don't know about self-serving. What was interesting to me is that so many people were jumping on this Comey bandwagon, particularly Democrats. And, you know, I was just a little confused by this sudden support of James Comey, you know, who was the director of the FBI. But, you know, I think he got through it in a way that, you know, anyone would want to get through something like this. And then, yeah, it may be self-serving because he's the one on the stand. And so, yeah, he's going to want to protect himself. And, you know, what stood out more to me was that there were so many people, like, you know, waiting for Comey to just go in on Donald Trump and, you know, and supporting him, and that just found that odd.
Ralph Moore.
I think in terms of the minute details of how Comey performed, I'm not sure how important that is. I mean, he testifies, and I think it's probably pretty easily verifiable, that at some point, Donald Trump, before a conversation with him, had everybody else leave the room. The vice president, the attorney general, Comey's direct report, his boss, and whomever else was there. And so it's just the two of them. It's like Trump was setting up a situation where he would have a conversation with Mr. Comey that only the two of them would be able to verify, unless there are recordings. And I would suspect that Trump is suggesting now that there were no recordings of their conversation. But Comey was compared by commentators who witnessed his testimony to women who oftentimes feel like men are trying to use their power to get favors from them. And, you know, the being alone, please don't leave me with him again, the language, the expectations. And in fact, I don't know if you heard, but over the weekend, Donald Trump Jr. is supposed to have said when Trump, his father, says, "I hope you will," he means he's directing you to do something. That's what his son says, and his son has worked for him. So those are the realities, and I think, and Trump himself has admitted that he fired him because of the Russian investigation. So that seems to me a pretty open and shut case of obstruction of justice.
In this Congress, I'm not sure what's really open and shut. But, I mean, it was clear. I mean, without having seen the son's comment when he says, "I hope," that was my sense. If you're sitting in somebody's office
alone
and it's your superior, somebody who's lords over you in some way officially and says, I hope you will do this. I hope that you will come in on time. I hope that you will not have your office door open. I hope that saying, this is what I want you to do without saying it.
Right.
Well, look, you know, what do you want? I feel ill at ease defending Donald Trump's rhetoric because I've attacked it so consistently. But this is not a directive to say "I hope." And it would have been perfectly appropriate if Comey had said, "Listen, this is not an appropriate conversation."
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you.
It's your show.
No, I still don't like to interrupt it. So if the president of your university called you in, and said to you, "Dr. Vatz, I hope that you don't use this book in your class next semester,"
right?
What do you think that means?
That he doesn't want me to use the book in the next semester.
Right.
Not that he is threatening to do something to me. Because I have tenure.
that's different.
If you then use the book the next semester, and then you get fired by the president, then would you not recall the conversation when the president said, "I hope you won't use this book"? Would you not want to recall that conversation and say, "He fired me because I used the book"?
Retroactively.
But you have no right.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Comey testified. I didn't listen to him. This is what Comey said. I didn't listen to him. But you know, the thing is, he knows he got fired because of the investigation.
He
didn't drop it. He's like you said. So I mean, I don't understand what the confusion is.
Because it is not actionable. When somebody says, "I hope you'll do X," that is not actionable.
But when Trump says to Lester Holt, "I fired him because of the Russian investigation," didn't he say that?
Yes, I think he did.
Then isn't that why he fired him?
Yeah.
And isn't that
approaching obstruction
of justice?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say he hadn't said, "I hope you do X," and he said, "I fired him because of the Russian investigation." Do you then say that he had no right to fire him because of the Russian investigation?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, why you can't go back to what he said and say it was a threat because of how he acted, because it's not. What if he had said to Comey, "Jet, that investigation of Flynn is making me kind of uneasy," and then he fires him and he says the Flynn thing just got out of hand. Does that make that a threat?
What I'm saying is that in that very strange conversation between him. In the context of whether or not Comey wanted to keep his job, right? He says, "I hope." And then he tells a news reporter on national news, on national TV, that I fired him because of the Russian investigation. Trump is connecting the dots. He's done that. He's admitted stuff. And there we have it. So he says, "I hope." It didn't. Apparently, there was no evidence that Comey was backing off, so he fires the guy. It's all connected.
You can't say with.
I just did.
You cannot reasonably say.
Well, there you go.
Well, with a guy like this, Trump, he retroactively he must have been getting directive.
I don't think it makes any difference whether it was retroactive or in the moment that you felt that. That the fact that he has interfered in this way. and continues to interfere with people's work in this way, and writing tweets like, what's his latest tweet about Comey that he wrote? Let me see if I can find
it. It may not be his latest tweet.
It's not his latest tweet. But it's, I believe that James Comey leaks will be far more prevalent than anyone ever thought possible. Totally illegal. Very cowardly.
Right.
Well,
go ahead, Carla.
The idea that this is a leak, that he shared his notes, that Comey shared his own memo, his own notes from a meeting with Donald Trump, that is not classified, with a friend who then sends it to the press, does not make this an illegal leak. That is not what that is. And I don't know why there's any confusion around that.
In my view, Comey is a sneak, because when he testified in May and he iterated his outrage at people who leaks, and then he leaks something in a way to not have any fingerprints on it, that is a sneak. And I've just lost so much respect for Comey. Does that mean that Comey has done something illegal? I don't believe myself. Let's say no. I'm so tired of every dispute in Washington being litigated. You don't have to litigate when people disagree on everything. But I think that I no longer respect Comey, and I did respect him tremendously, and I now think I know what kind of person he is.
Well, I am not someone who is going to sit here and defend James Comey and what he did in the last election or anything else, which I think was just absurd. But it's interesting watching Democrats kind of scramble now to defend a man that they attacked earlier.
Always been my guy.
But both sides have done that at various points.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Both have done that.
And by the way,
that may be a good sign in some ways. If he's ticking off everybody.
One of the outrageous statements that I've seen over and over again on CNN is that you can't have it both ways. Trump can't criticize Comey and then quote him. Of course you can. When a person uses somebody for reluctant testimony, you can say the guy's a bum, but here he's admitting X, Y, and Z. There's no contradiction in that. CNN is so out to get Trump. They have lost all their journalistic credentials.
Well, let's talk about it for a minute. I'm not sure that I would say CNN's out to get Trump anymore. I think that Trump gives people so much room to attack him. I mean, I have never before in my life, whether it's been in the last 25 years on the air or whether it's been the years before as a political activist and working in campaigns and all kinds of things around and writing my ideas and the rest, I have never, ever experienced a political figure elected anywhere. Well, that's not true. There are some local people I thought about. But like this, who just says and does the most outrageous things that you have.
And inconsistent things.
And so, of course, the media, if they're worth their salt, are going to go after that. And, of course, now they're being accused of just being partisan against Trump. And there may be some of that there because this guy is just so outrageous, which is why 55% of the people in the United States at this moment think that the president should not serve his 4 years, that believe he's abusing power. I mean, that's...
Let me concur, okay? Because I find Trump one of the most personally irresponsible presidents we've had since Lyndon Johnson.
How can you compare Lyndon Johnson to Donald Trump? I have my issues with Lyndon Johnson as
right,
well.
Right, I don't think there's a comparison.
How can you compare Trump and Lyndon Johnson? What is that?
Oh, because Lyndon Johnson never contradicted himself. Lyndon Johnson never pressured people. Lyndon Johnson never threatened people. Are you kidding?
Oh, he never definitely. Well, all presidents have done that, I think.
I had nobody like Lyndon Johnson.
I think the point that you're making, though, is that because of the way Donald Trump is, he consumes all of the air in the room. He consumes all of the attention. He gets up early, does his tweets to control news cycles during the day. And the people's business is greatly being lost in all of this.
And Carla, right? Carla, go ahead. Before I open the phones here.
Exactly. That's the key point here, though. The people, this is how he plans to govern. And of course, everyone knows there's a theory that this is a strategy, actually,
right,
to have all these distractions going on. And you know, it's hard to not, you know, believe that.
And his whole agenda seems to be about undoing Obama. The morning paper talks about how he wants to reverse Obama's practices and policies in Cuba, for example. So he's working on the Affordable Care Act, on the Paris Climate Change Agreement, and now this Cuba thing.
He's appeasing his base.
Right. And they're only, 34%?
I don't know how. They could be larger. Depends
on
the day.
But he's taking up all the air in the room. Does not work to his advantage.
So let me open the phones here, and I'll leave you a couple of tweets on the way to the phones. His earliest tweet, remember right after the election, was, in addition to winning the Electoral College in a landslide, I won the popular vote, if you deduct the millions of people who voted illegally.
Right.
Says Donald Trump. And there are a few other ones here that I thought I'd really enjoyed. It's illegal for a sitting president to be wiretapping a race for president prior to the election. Turned down by court earlier. A new low, he said on March the 4th. Your president, 410-319-8888.
You're not saying to me you're a president,
no.
Right?
No.
You're not saying to me either. You're not my president either.
So, Mike, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Mark, it must be your president then. It's certainly not us. listen, and don't worry, I'm not going to say the word, but you got to remember, this is the grab them by the... Right. And I think he just did that politically to Comey, right? I mean, I think that's what just happened with feminists saying, he displayed this vulgar behavior. I do think it is a conspiracy, not so much by him, but by people to use an oaf like him to consistently be able to do these ridiculous things. So that the small minority of the people's business that doesn't represent us can execute an agenda which is draconian, right? And so, I mean, I think this is not about Comey. You know, there will be something else ridiculous in a month if he survives. And you got to—I called it when he picked him. You got to worry about Pence. Pence is a scary guy, mm-hmm. and all the other cabal of oligarchs and
why is he scary
around.
Let him finish.
Because he's methodical, because if you look at what happened in his home state, because he's a true believer, I think this guy will push the button and say God told him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is look at his state. The Republicans are undoing his stuff because they're like, dude, you went too far, right? I mean, this man is not stable either, but he's sure-footed. And so, you know, as a team, they represent a great red herring to allow distraction while they decimate not just Obamacare, but they put in an agenda that they've been trying to do for years that has just seemed too radical for even traditional right-wing Republicans.
And your question was what,
well,
Rick Pence?
I like Pence. And I think when you say he's not stable, but he's sure-footed, you've kind of lost me on that point. But I think that I think he's a conservative vice president, and I think that I would be more comfortable with him as president than I would be with Donald Trump as president, because I think Donald Trump is really, especially in foreign policy, which has been my concern all along, I think he's actually done some good things in foreign policy, but I think that he could get upset sometime and act utterly, nuclearly irresponsible.
Carla?
Well, I don't understand why you're. I mean, you're a Republican, and yes, Mike Pence is.
He's actually a Democrat. He's conservative.
Oh, you're a Democrat.
I'm an independent.
You're an independent. Oh, okay. Well, wonderful. Mike Pence doesn't scare you. I don't understand why not. But there are also other thoughts that Mike Pence was the real. The target here is that ideally that Mike Pence would end up in the White House. Trump's so unhinged, he's bound to do something that's going to get him impeached and removed. And then Pence is what they really wanted. So, you know, I don't know. There's a Republican Party to me. The whole idea of Donald Trump, Mike Pence, all of the other folks that they were able to bring in, is just this really strange indication of how far right the Republican Party has gone and how successful the Tea Party has been, you know, where it was years ago and moving the party so far to the right. And just basically co-opting the party in a way that I hadn't seen. I mean, it used to be Republicans were, you know, fiscal conservatives, and, you know, they had, you know, social conservatives even. And but what they are now is
cowards.
It's hard to even. Yeah, I mean, it's something else that is frightening. And,
so let me just ask you a question.
What we're seeing is this manifest in the White House now.
Well, if I could say something, not to make this a two-person conversation.
Yeah, but
would that be okay? The Republicans are coming up with all kinds of excuses for Donald Trump. And the latest from Paul Ryan was that he's new on the job. And that's a ridiculous excuse, it seems to me. The White House, incidentally, is whiter than ever. And from an African-American standpoint and other people of color, what we're seeing, you see the bill signing, you see the cabinet, you even see these hearings, and the people of color are standing up straight and strong. Elijah Cummings, I hope he's feeling better, has done very, very well on the Government Oversight Committee. Kamala Harris took on Rod Rosenstein the other day and got insulted and reprimanded for doing so. What's her name? Waters. Maxine Waters has been very, very clear after. So I think I'm proud of the way people of color have handled themselves in all this confusion, even though we've been minorities within minorities in this whole situation. I hate to say this out loud and on the radio, but it looks like white folks have really made a mess of things.
Rick.
Well, let me just say that if you think that the Republicans have gone far right, and I think it's a very complicated situation in the Republican Party, let me just tell you that this was the first time that we ever had an avowed socialist vying competitively for the Democratic nomination. And also...
At last.
And also... God!
Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. I understand. Yeah. And he
ran as a Democrat, incidentally. Right?
And when you have Hillary adopting... the fact that school tuition ought to be paid for by the government, and she adopted this. This not only showed her very, very left-wing urges, but also her political expediency urges, because she did adopted this so she wins some of Bernie's supporters. The Democratic Party has gone crazy left.
So,
but I think it's a response. I mean, the problem is Democrats tend to be very slow and very late. Still not convinced that the machine, the actual party machine, is open enough as it ought to be to, you know, the Bernie and the folks from Our Revolution and this wave now that's coming along and inspired by Bernie. But what happened with the Republican Party is that they said, our folks are really pushing us this far to the right. This is what they want. They're anti-choice. They're anti, you know, LGBT rights, and we're anti-immigration, and we're going to move that way. So much to the point we're going to elect president this guy and get behind Donald Trump. They got behind Donald Trump. Now the Democratic Party, when folks are pushing them further to the left and saying we want Bernie, they obstructed it. They stopped it, and then we got Hillary as a nominee who lost.
That is one of the most erroneous interpretations I've ever heard.
No, I think what it is that the Democratic Party does not want to listen to its electorate. They don't listen in the way that Republicans have.
I do have to jump in because we're losing all of our callers. I promise to get to. We're not getting to them, so I need to do that. So those of you who hung up, call right back. You don't want to get to your calls. We'll get them as soon as we come back. If you hang up now, call back now. We'll get right to your calls. We come back from this break at 410-319-8888. As it stands now, Tyrone, you're the first caller up. But if Mike and the others call back, we'll get to your calls. 410-319-8888. Welcome back, folks. folks. This is Mark Steiner here on The Mark Steiner Show with Carla Wills, senior news producer of Democracy Now!, Ralph Moore at Democracy Now!, Ralph Moore, longtime community activist and advocate for Baltimore's poor and needy, Dr. Rick Vatz, who is professor of rhetoric and communication at Towson University's Department of Instructional Leadership and Professional Development, and an editorial writer and author, and you all at 410-319-8888. My apologies not getting to you earlier, so do call back. We want to hear your thoughts at 410-319-8888. Tyrone, you're on the air. Welcome.
How's it going?
Very well. Good morning.
This is your panel. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say that Comey did nothing illegal. I mean, you're allowed to discuss unclassified conversations you have with other people and with a government official. You can even write a book about it. Dick Cheney wrote three of them. Okay? So you're not going to jail. Trust me, he's not going to jail for releasing non-classified information to the public. That's not going to happen. Okay, so getting past that, the reason that the reason that Pence is dangerous is because he doesn't scare you. Okay, when you listen to Donald Trump, all kinds of red flags go up in your mind because he seems to come unhinged every now and then, and he tweets in the middle of the night and says things like "Fifi" or whatever, and so right away a lot of people are already ready to discredit some of the things he may come up with because of the way he produces those things or presents himself. And the reason he does that is because he achieved the presidency, you got to remember, by non-traditional means, okay? And in his mind, that's worked. So why would I change something that got me the presidency, okay? People were looking for something different when they voted for Donald Trump. They weren't looking for your run-of-the-mill politician. And that's the way he presented himself. And this is the way he continues to present himself, good or bad for the country. But it doesn't seem like he's going to change anytime soon. unfortunately, he's going to be the president of the United States, I think, for quite some time. I don't see him getting impeached. There may be a war, so he may get reelected. That's what happened to Bush. You know, Bush, we had the same issue with the electoral college. People got very close memory. Gore won the popular vote. Bush was given the presidency, you know, because of what happened in Florida. You know, remember the hanging chads and all that stuff. And he actually, you know, somebody told me that there'd be a war within a year, and there was a year later. And exactly, precisely a year later. And as a matter of fact, he started two wars. And he ended up, the people actually rallied behind him, and he ended up winning a second term. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Tyrone.
Well, I'm not as convinced as Tyrone is that Donald Trump is going to be so entrenched that he'll be around forever. In fact, I've been predicting that he'll be gone by August 31st of this year. I just think that the wheels are spinning so quickly. The press is working overtime to uncover stuff, and they uncover stuff, and they're putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle, and the pieces are coming together slowly, and what the picture will ultimately be a smoking gun. You know, that's what got Nixon gone. There was a smoking gun. There were those tapes, and now what the smoking gun will look like this time? I think they're connected to Donald Trump's finances. I think that's his connection to Russia, that they bailed him out.
But that's all. We don't know that. That's just speculation.
And this is speculation.
That's what I'm saying.
But this is so distasteful. Assuming that the job of the press is this concept of resistance, that instead of being a disinterested press, that their job
there's never been such a thing.
That their job is to get rid of Donald Trump. And I'm telling you, first of all, let me just say this. As I think you know, impeachment is a political process. You can impeach anybody you wish, or you cannot impeach anybody you wish. And there's not going to be any impeachment of Donald Trump, certainly until elections next year. And I don't think there's going to be an impeachment of Donald Trump. And for a man who's been in office for 5 months, for the opposition to be consistently interested in one and only one thing, and that is getting him out of office by any means possible. I think that it's appalling, and I don't think that it can be successful.
Carla,
well, it sounds a little familiar. I mean, you know, the Republican Party main mission after Obama was elected was to get him out of office. Maybe not in the same way.
That worked well.
But exactly. The idea was to make him a one-term president. And yeah, it didn't work. So, you know, I'm not sure about this being the mission, but the mission of the press isn't to be disinterested. It's to check power. And the problem is this man has no check. At least he tries not to. He tries to rule by fiat. He tries to run the country like a corporation. And then there are people who believe that that's the smart way to be an executive of a country or a state or whatever. It doesn't make any kind of sense.
And this is a guy who called the press the enemy of the people.
Right.
You know, he has started this with his rhetoric, not just like he insulted the entire intelligence community when he began. So he set up these.
Because he doesn't want any check on what he does.
Exactly.
And the first branch that came out and started checking him was the judiciary, and he attacked them too.
Right.
You know, he called the judges.
How many Republicans voted for Obamacare?
And all of that.
How many Republicans?
How he's used to operate.
How many Republicans voted for Obamacare?
None.
Right. Presidents don't disagree about how they should use their power. The fact is, you just find Trump repugnant. I understand that. Any sentient person should find him kind of repugnant. But that doesn't mean that Barack Obama was a Democrat, small D.
No, it means that people have opposed Barack Obama, but it's basically because he was black and the first black president.
Right.
That's what the opposition was based on in this country. That's what
there
it was
were
based
people,
on.
There were people. There were such
that's
people.
That's what it was based on. But, otherwise, it would have been opposition with decorum that did not exist.
Right.
And I think that Democrats, let's go open the phones here again. I think Democrats make a huge mistake in pushing impeachment. There have only been two impeached presidents. The Senate didn't uphold either one of them. That was Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. And with the House voted for impeachment, and Andrew and the third being Richard Nixon, who was never officially impeached, but knew he was on his way, and so he left before he got impeached, and he might have been thrown out of office. He might have been the only person ever to be thrown out.
Andrew Johnson was just saved by one vote,
right?
And that was
questionable. But,
and that one vote ended Reconstruction.
Right.
410-391-8888 is number here. Charles, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning, Kevin. How's everyone?
Very well.
Good.
Go ahead.
Good. I've been listening to the conversation and have had previous conversations with some of my friends. I'm looking at this. If it doesn't pass the smell test, then it's dead. And that's what we're looking at. My spotty sense says this guy is a narcissistic personality. And how can you run a country when it's only yourself that you're most interested in? We've had these Russian investigations. It's been going on for quite a long time, but his personality, the way he leads, didn't just start today. He's got a lot of this. Not good. And certainly not good for human rights and any other things. So my feelings are just very strong that this gentleman needs to be somewhere else and not president of this country. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, we don't remove presidents because people find them distasteful and obnoxious,
or because they are narcissistic.
Well, are trying to through psychiatry say that Donald Trump is medically unfit to be president.
I don't disagree with that, but that's neither here nor there. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Lyle. You're on the air. Welcome.
Well, good morning.
Good morning,
everyone. I had a couple comments earlier, but I'd like to add to that.
Go ahead.
And I'll try to be very quick.
That's all right.
First of all, I would argue that the job of the press is to provide information for everybody in this country, most of whom who don't have the privileged access to information that people in universities or in government or in military or other institutions have. So the job of the press is not always beautifully executed, and it's certainly not always executed without opinion. But that's okay, because the press is supposed to be free to express itself and free to get the information that other people wouldn't otherwise be able to get. That's why it's so critical that the press have free rein and have the voice that we don't have. The press is supposed to tell us the truth, and that means the truth about everybody, imperfect as it is, including a person elected as president who doesn't have a previous record in public service. Comment number two, public service. We take an oath as public servants to work for the people, not a party, not an ideology, but to work for the people. I don't expect my information as a former military person to be in private anymore. Some of it is, some of it isn't. But I disclose a lot of things to the military as part of my job. And so that information is available under FOIA. I just want to really stress the difference between public service and private service. Like it or not, the president has entered a different realm of service, and he has a lessened privacy right because of it. Comment number two, directions.
Number three.
But three, thank you.
The press will get you for that.
Thank you for keeping count. Directions given by a senior. Again, government's different from private sector. Mr. Comey has a long history of working for the government, and he works in law enforcement. When somebody tells you not once but twice, I hope you do this, and prior to doing that clears the room of even his boss, I think it's pretty clear what was meant there. And if you haven't worked in that position, then please, please research the culture of that environment and research the roles and responsibilities of those people before saying, oh, that was just a hoax. No. Even if the president didn't mean it that way, Mr. Comey was entitled to take it that way. And I think part of the delay in him coming forward with some of this information was specifically because he knew he was working for somebody that didn't know what it was to work in the role he had, and because his boss had a responsibility to do something about that. So he gave the appropriate people in his chain of command time to do what they were supposed to do.
Well, I appreciate the thoughts and comments. There's a lot there.
Yeah, well, I can't remember everything she said, but let me just say some points that I disagree with. when you say that the press's job, let's just say you said the press's job is to investigate.
No, she said the press's job was to provide information, is what she said.
Right, but the fact is that the press folded for Barack Obama. I mean, if you had a president who had said as serially that if you want to keep your insurance, you can keep your insurance, and made other representations of Obamacare that were false and made them so frequently, the press would have been all over any Republican who had made such a misrepresentation. Now, that's fine, but they ought to have been over Barack Obama as well. The press would have been over Hillary Clinton on Benghazi, but the press wasn't. The press,
oh my God.
The press. I'm also talking about the representations of the victims of Benghazi, when they took contemporaneous notes. You know, the Democrats love contemporaneous notes, except when it's used against them. And so I'm just saying that there's nothing wrong with the press being a watchdog. The problem is when the press is only a watchdog against one side of the political aisle.
And that's absurd.
Wow, you have such a, like, selective memory. This is unheard of. The press was pretty much a microphone or an amplifier for George Bush when he decided he was going to war. The press did. There was zero check on that. They were completely complicit in that march to war. There were no questions. There was all this hand-wringing and looking back and, oh, we should have, after the fact, years after the fact. But there's no selective, checking of administrations based on political affiliation.
Okay.
No.
I mean, yeah,
no.
I mean, I covered that intensely during the lead up to the war, and there was no, the New York Times, the Washington Post, nobody questioned George Bush's opening a war in Iraq.
Okay, you do.
Nobody
remember.
Questioned his weapons of mass destruction. Nobody questioned any of the things that were said in the General Assembly by then Secretary of State Colin Powell.
You do remember. the point that I just made. The point that I just made was that they lay down for Barack Obama.
But
they
that's
lay
not
down,
true either. I mean, because
of course
it is. The examples you gave are specious.
Why are they specious?
Completely specious. You're talking about one little aspect of the health care bill.
One little aspect. It's a definitive aspect.
And it wasn't true, what you just said.
Oh, in other words, what? He didn't say that over and over and over and over again falsely? And the press...
No, in his camp, look, people, when people argue their positions in campaigns, it's different than what happens when you put things in office. I mean, what they didn't push him on was why he refused to allow, why his contradiction during the health care hearings, where he wouldn't allow single payer even in the conversation and push that out completely. Nobody covered that. Nobody would. After he said it on the campaign trail, nobody pushed him on that once he became president of the United States. That I found is a problem. But the press was just in love with Donald Trump's campaign. They could not get enough of Donald Trump. They could not get enough of saying, putting him on every word he said.
They must have written.
The president of CBS said Donald Trump may not be good for America, but he's certainly good for CBS.
Yep.
And so it just meant ratings. They just put this guy out there.
He was not
Chris
covered.
Chris Matthews on his show every day would just step back for Donald Trump rallies and just let his whole show be Donald Trump standing in front
and
of a microphone.
It was all negative.
No.
They
let Donald Trump speak for himself.
Oh, my
to
goodness.
That, and incidentally, speaking of CBS, this morning they reported that his approval rating in a Quinnipiac poll is 34%. I didn't just pull it out of the air. That's what they reported on the morning show this morning.
So what does that dispute?
Pardon?
What does that factoid dispute?
Well, the point is that the press has been complicit in some ways of giving Donald Trump a whole lot of room.
But positively.
But it seems to me, what do you mean never positively?
Positively.
It has been said that somewhere between $1 billion and $2 billion of free press went to Donald Trump during his campaign.
I concur.
Not never positively. If you recall, was it 2 months ago when he decided he was going to strike the Syrian airfield, the press was beside themselves about how presidential Donald Trump had become.
Ironically.
Ironically,
yeah.
No,
they
ironically. The one way where the mainstream media one thing they love is a war, and the facts bear it out every time. Like we just explained, you know, the press backed up George Bush when he was marching the war in Iraq.
Right.
This time with the Syrian airfield.
What does that contradict about how the press treats Democrats?
Donald Trump, who had been the laughingstock, who even the mainstream media had, you know, questioned and talked about him being, you know, unhinged, not using those words, but some had. But once he decided to bomb the Syrian airfield, he was presidential.
Right.
So not ironically. War is the thing that always makes
So if they cover 25 issues on Donald Trump and they roast him on 24, but they praise him on one, you say that they praise Donald Trump.
But he deserved to be roasted. By everybody.
But that isn't the issue.
That is the issue.
The
really.
Issue is that they roast
Donald
Trump.
When was the last time we had a president or a nominee like this in the history?
We've never had one.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right. But my point is that they give a free rein to Democratic candidates.
That's not true.
Oh, it's absolutely true. And I gave you examples.
You're much too ideological is the problem.
I don't think I'm ideological at all.
Let me go to the phones here. 410.
Goodness gracious.
I just couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
410-319-8888.
You're my bud.
Clarence, you're on the air. Oh, Clarence line 2, and then Clarence line 5 next.
Two Clarences?
Two Clarences in a row.
Don't you have a limit on how many Clarences?
Can you hear me, Mr. Stein?
Go ahead.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Mr. Steiner, first of all, I think Francis Ford Coppola's family should take Trump and Comey to court for stealing his Godfather scene, courtroom scene. That's number one. How did they do this to us again? Someone mentioned that while we were watching this, the Comey testimony, that the Senate, that the House was passing H.R. 10. And when I pulled it up and some quotes and some commentaries on what it was all about, I said, oh, my God, they got us again. If you read that while the public was watching the testimony, they were passing something that further empowered Wall Street
and was totally dismantling some of the consumer protection agencies, and we were just sitting there watching the TV show.
They deregulated the banks, yeah.
Right.
Right. So, and when you try to Google it, or look online, backtrack to see how it was reported, yeah, the press failed us there. You know, that's the only thing I can say, because that, to me, was more important than whatever was going to happen, would have been more important to the public than whatever was going to happen between Comey and Trump. Yeah, it's just my opinion. Second of all, Mr. Steiner, let me remind you of something. George Bush stepped up to the podium and, quote, said, "These are troubled times. Be careful what you say." That was a threat to the press. Thank you.
And yeah, the HR 10 piece, I mean, a lot of us have been on the radar because we were so focused on Donald Trump and his behavior that we didn't see the substitute amendment that was slid through that nobody covered in the press, which is the dismantled Dodd-Frank, which was as opposed which was,
yeah, you know, it's not covered because most people in the press don't understand it.
That's not true. People understand it. They just didn't, people are more
they were distracted
by these headlines and Trump rather than
so easily
they distract themselves with Trump.
Right.
They distract themselves with Trump rather than this. I mean, that's a huge piece, and also not focusing on what Betty DeVos is doing with education.
And the Senate's trying to do something with Obamacare, right? They've got this small group of senators, and they're putting together their plan, and they're trying to sneak that through. So that's what I'm saying, and I said it earlier. This whole business with whatever Donald Trump is doing on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute basis has all the attention, but, you know, people's health care, how they'll be able to relate to the banking industry, all of this stuff is getting lost.
We agree.
And the way he has set up his cabinet, the way he has called for with his budget, the people's business is being tossed totally aside, while at the same time, he and his children are making money hands over fists in their respective businesses and all. It's disgusting.
So let me get to the phones real quick. Come back with the final thoughts here from everybody. 410-319-8888. Clarence, line 5, you're on the air.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Clarence.
Just a few pointers. One, we paid attention to what was going on, like your guest said. The health care bill is being demolished. Until Trump supporters are affected, I live in Pennsylvania. I have 4 neighbors that are going to be affected if they pass the bill that they want to do away with the Affordable Care Act. And what the public needs to understand, stop paying attention to all this dumb stuff, this Hamm and Beauregard sessions. Start paying attention and listening to these hearings so you know on C-SPAN and reading the paper, the press made Donald Trump. Press is going to have to be part of the reason to destroy him. Thank you so much, and keep up the good conversations, Mark.
Thank you, Clarence. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the comment. Thoughts? Let's go around the room. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I mean, what ended up being a salient discussion was your denial that the press has now become a political partisan. And I think it's outrageous. I mean, every day when you watch CNN, I watch CNN an awful lot. They've completely lost any disinterest, any journalistic disinterest, and they are trying to club him with Trump undermines his own defense. You know, that's their headline. All their headlines are personal. And when they have panels, the panels are all 7-1, 8-1, 4-1. They have one lonely conservative on the panel, and they think that makes it equal. And it is laughable. They are very smart people. I'm not saying they're dumb people. They're very smart people. But their partisanship has made CNN just absolutely laughable as a journalistic entity.
And a very quick thought from you there, sir?
I don't know if you remember, Richard, but right after Corey Lewandowski was fired by Trump, CNN hired him, and he was a commentator, remember? And in fact, at one point, it was reported that he was still getting a salary from the Trump campaign,
but
he was being paid by CNN.
I recall.
So I don't know what your thing is with CNN, but I don't know.
That proves something?
Yes, it does. Just listen when we talk, and maybe you'll hear something. But the point
is, that's not very nice.
Well, because you may say things nicely, but you're not necessarily being nice either. But the point is this. It's very wearying what's going on in this country right now. You know, all of this crap, all of this confusion, all this excuse-making for Donald Trump, and we've got people who are struggling and suffering and starving in this country, and this will continue to happen because all eyes and all attention is being paid to this confusement. And it's just sad. We're in a really sad place in this country right now.
I think I agree with that. Carla Wills, you're on the air. The sad place.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, again, I like to end on a hopeful note that, you know, in local races around the country, as much as we pay attention to what's happening on the federal level and in the White House, Congress, we have to start paying more attention to what's happening in our local races, what's happening in city councils and the state houses. You know, for example, once Donald Trump decided to pull out of the climate deal, there are states and local cities and municipalities, and county governments around the country that are signing on to the climate deal themselves. They're not going to be deterred. So again, ending on a hopeful note, let's try to take back, you know, some you know, sense in our local offices and state offices while we're dealing with all the confusion on the federal level.
And I want to thank the three of you. Carla Wills, senior news producer at Democracy Now!, you just heard. Ralph Moore, local, longtime community activist and advocate for Baltimore's poor and needy. Dr. Richard Vatch, professor of rhetoric and communication at Towson University's Department of Instructional Leadership and Professional Development.
Great department, by the way.
That's a very long title. And author of The Only Authentic Book of Persuasion and a new book coming out on Thomas Saz.
Right.
Good to have you in the studio as well.
Thank you.
All of you. It's good to see all of you here. Thank you so much for joining us. And on our way to break here, let me remind you, The Mark Steiner Show and conversations like this are brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com. We're about to take a short break, and when you come back, we'll be looking at local issues. 14 people were shot this weekend, one killed. Nobody seems to get a handle on this in our city. And we talked about this a lot, but we have a new round of guests to talk about where we should go with this, where this administration should go, why it's so difficult to wrap our hands around. Stay with us. We'll be right back.